morning, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran with your morning drive at 6. 312-981-7200 is our phone number and text number, 312-981-7200, if you would like to join us. Now, we would like to welcome to the show right now Scott O'Brien, who is a writer and executive producer of the Dinner Detective Murder Mystery Dinner Show. And it is the dinnerdetective.com/Chicago. It's there are productions of this murder mystery throughout the country, and it happens every Saturday here in Chicago at the Hilton Garden Inn in Chicago. And it's an interesting story. It's an interesting reason as to why the Dinner Detective was created. And Scott O'Brien is going to tell us all about that. And this is our mutual friend Richard Larimer suggested this to us. Our good buddy Richard Larimer, who's been a regular on my show now for like over 12 years, and he was like, "You should talk to this guy, Scott O'Brien. He's got a funny story, and he puts out a great product." And we thought we'd talk to him about it. And it's the Dinner Detective Murder Mystery. And let's welcome Scott to the show. Hi, Scott.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good, good. Okay, the background here I think is really interesting. You worked for David E. Kelley as a crime researcher on The Practice, correct?
That is correct.
And how long did you do that? How'd you get into that?
I started working with David and his production company in 2000, and then we ventured off with the Dinner Detective right when The Practice came to an end. And Boston Legal started, so I believe that was in 2004.
And what was it? What's your background, and how did you get into that?
Oh gosh, out of college, I just took an internship out in Los Angeles, and I got lucky. I didn't know a single soul, to be honest with you, and just started sending some really funny and absolutely ridiculous resumes out, and had a very good friend of mine help me with that, and. I got picked up as a PA on Party of Five.
Oh,
that was actually my first gig. And a PA is just a glorified grunt.
Yeah.
It's just a nice title.
Yeah.
And, from there, I got some other jobs. I worked on some really cool TV shows. And then I got a really cool job working for a company called Zide Perry. And they, right when I started there, they were in post-production on American Pie.
Wow.
And, and that really got me into the world of development and really got me an opportunity to really explore how that process worked. And from there, I thought for sure that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go into development, which was working directly with the writers and helping them take what they had written and make it into something bigger and something better. So I figured, hey, if I'm going to do this and I love television more than I love movies, I might as well just go for the fences and try to get in with what I consider to be arguably the greatest television writer of all time, which was David, and still is. And I, friend of a friend of a friend, it's kind of how Hollywood works, and they got me into his corporate office, and I was working in the corporate office, you know, three doors down from his office, and at the time he had Ally McBeal, The Practice, Boston Public, and about three or four other pilots and short-lived series on the air. And then from there, just kept working in development and realized that, you know what, I really enjoyed the writing and the researching part of it and taking real crimes and real legal dramas and making them into dramatic television. And just to see that process and see how David did it and see how his executive writers did it and just to be a part of that from pitch to production was an amazing opportunity. It was a Harvard education packed into every single season. And then in 2004, I said, you know what, I'd love to take a crack at it. So I moved over to the Practice, got into the writers department, and just worked with all of them. And it was an amazing team, amazing writers, and to be able to see that whole process. Again, from beginning to end, but now focusing specifically on one cast and one type of storyline each and every week was absolutely incredible.
Wow, that's a great story. Let me ask you this: you mentioned fake resumes. Tell me a little bit about that, man. That sounds a little intriguing to me.
Well, the story in Hollywood is, and I guess it's just in the TV and movie businesses, you know, nepotism is the king of all things. And I didn't know a single person. And I was actually lucky enough, my mother, her sister, so my Aunt Jackie, her roommate from medical school was probably 25 years prior, just happened to live out in the Pacific Palisades. And she was literally the only contact that I had. It was, you know, 3 degrees of separation to get a single person in Los Angeles. And she was kind enough, if I can mention her name, Marna Geisler. She was just a Dr. Geisler, wonderful, wonderful woman. And she was kind enough to let me sleep in her, oh God, how old was Garrett? Garrett was probably 9 years old, and let me sleep in his bottom bunk. And I drove out from Arizona State, which is where I was going to college. I drove out there at 20 years old and slept in the bottom bunk with an 8-year-old and just said, you know what, this is just getting crazier and crazier. And she introduced me to an amazing man named Adam Blybetroy. And he's got an incredible story, an incredible history behind him. But he just kind of told me, listen, if you're really gonna put yourself out there, you've got to make yourself stand out. You don't know anybody. You can't pull any favors. So we came up with this resume that just basically called out the elephant in the room. It was all of the ridiculous things that every PA is known to do, but no one will ever say that that's what you actually have to do in as far as your job responsibilities. So it was the shovel the blank and ask for more mentality. And so I had this was in 1998, end of 98, became 99. And so we didn't really have the internet. We didn't have we had internet, but we didn't really have what we have today. Not even close.
Yeah.
And so I was working with, like stick figures here. And so I had this stick figure GIF that was like juggling. And so then I had to take white out and draw in, you know, a script. And then I had to draw in a bottle of wine. And then I had to draw in, I think it was like pencils. And then here I was juggling. And then there was a big giant pothole that I was about to run into. And I knew that that was always going to be what I was going to be doing. And then basically the resume, which had pretty much nothing true on it, was just all of these made up companies that I worked for in Arizona where I went to school, and all of these made up companies that I worked for in other states that didn't exist, because I didn't want to put a real company in Los Angeles, because I figured they would know, like,
right.
Oh, that's not a real thing. You can't do that.
Right.
And so, of course, I send my resume, and they read it, and they're like, oh, my God, this guy's got so much experience. He must be amazing. And I had absolutely no idea. And literally, when I got the job on Party of Five, I was working for Suzanne Summers' son out of his garage. He was, like, the king of infomercials, and he directed infomercials, and that was it. I mean, it was an amazing, amazing time
for
me. And yeah.
So working in a garage with Suzanne Summers' son, sleeping with an 8-year-old in a bunk bed, and then you get the Party of Five gig.
Yeah.
That's pretty
good. Yeah, I still didn't move out because I didn't have any money. So I was like,
that's great.
I need to be able to save up some money because living in Los Angeles is expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so she let me stay for a full year, and in exchange, I took care of the kids. I fed the dog. I painted the house. I mowed the lawn. I painted the fence. I cleaned the car.
Right.
And all the while, I was working 20-hour days on Party of Five.
That's great. I love, by the way, Party of Five is like one of my favorite shows.
Was it really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was
my favorite show at the time, so I was ecstatic. That resume got me 5 different offers. I had an offer on Home Improvement. I had an offer on Frasier. I can't remember the other two, but Party 5 came in, and I'm like, that's it. That's my show. That's it. I'm taking that one.
That's great, man. That is absolutely great. Then you started working for David E. Kelley. When you started working for David E. Kelley, was Lake Placid already done at that point? Did he?
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. It's one of my favorite things that David Kelley ever wrote is Lake Placid. So you worked
with Betty White, right?
I'm sorry. Yeah, Betty White was in it. Been Bill Pullman. Yeah.
That's right. The giant gator that ate all the people who were on the...
Okay. Yep. Yep. Great movie, man.
I remember that one.
Yeah. So you worked on the practice. You met your wife on the practice, correct?
Yeah. Funny story. I met my wife before that. So one of the funny areas, I guess not funny, but one of the least monitored areas in the production office at the time was the internship program. And they were always looking for really good interns. And of course we had just hundreds, if not thousands of resumes that would come in. And the lady that I was working for in development, she was just overwhelmed, and she was also the internship coordinator. And so she'd asked me one day, she's like, you know, if you want to help, I would love some help in this area because I cannot handle all the interns and do development on 4 different TV shows. And he's got all these other projects. And, it was just one thing after another. I said, of course. And so somehow, without letting legal or HR know, I became the internship coordinator. And I just started hiring random kids from college. And somehow they were getting college credit. And nobody noticed because it was a really big company, but they kept seeing all these new faces. Well, as the story goes with my wife, she was really, really hot. And here I am, 20-something years old. And she comes in and I'm talking to her, and she had a great resume. I don't want to take that away from her. She had a great resume, graduated from the University of California at Irvine.
Yeah.
And now she's got a double master's in English literature and creative writing. But she came in and I was very impressed by it. And so I walked up to Elisa, who was in charge, and said, this girl's great. I think you guys should hire her. And she's like, okay, sight unseen, she was hired. So I called her and said, hey, Kelly, congratulations. We'd like to bring you on board. When can you start? And then I took the paperwork and over to HR. Well, all of a sudden HR now suddenly starts paying attention. And they then call Kelly and they're like, yeah, see, Scott doesn't really have the authority to hire you, but we don't really want to take that away from you, so we'd like to meet you, if you don't mind coming in one more time. And so she came in, and she ended up getting the internship directly for David. So David had his assistant, who I think is still his assistant, Todd. And then it was Kelly, my wife.
Wow.
And we started dating, probably in 2002. So right before I left. So we were actually, she then became his PA. So I was still in the corporate office. She was David's PA. And we were in the same office together all the time. And it was really frowned upon.
Wow.
You're not supposed to date anybody there.
And right.
We kept it secret, and then we finally just said, you know what, we got to do this, and we got engaged. And David was the first person we told, because I figured, if we're going to get in trouble,
right,
we got to just go straight to David.
Right.
And we told him, and he had the biggest smile on his face, and he was like, congratulations, that's awesome, you guys are perfect together. And he told us an amazing story about how he proposed to his wife, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
And I told him how I proposed to Kelly, and he was laughing, and everything was great. And therefore, if David gave his blessing, then HR and legal couldn't do anything about it.
That's a great story, man.
That was good at that point.
That's great. Okay, cool. All right, listen, Scott, hang on, okay? I swear to you, we'll get to the dinner detective. we're definitely going to get to it, but these are some great stories. Let's hang on for a second, okay? Cool.
You got it.
All right. There you go. Scott O'Brien, writer, executive producer of The Dinner Detective Murder Mystery. And there is every Saturday there's a performance at the Hilton Garden Inn in Chicago. We'll tell you all about it and how you can get tickets and all that cool stuff right after we take a break here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. Our guest right now is Scott O'Brien, writer, executive producer of The Dinner Detective Murder Mystery. And you can see it. It performs every Saturday at the Hilton Garden Inn in Chicago, as well as around the country. And he was a former crime researcher, worked in TV for a long time, and worked on The Practice with David E. Kelly. And he took some of that experience and put it into this new Dinner Detective Murder Mystery. And we welcome Scott back. Welcome back, Scott.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
So yeah, so our mutual friend Richard Larmer was like, you got to have this guy on the air. It's a great story, and he said that you decided that you wanted to create dinner theater because you hated dinner theater. Is that?
Yeah, that's very true. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
my wife dragged me to a dinner show in Southern California. I don't know if they're still around, but I won't use any names. And it was for my mother-in-law's birthday. And I had been to one probably, oh God, maybe 10 years prior. And it was exactly what most people think of interactive murder mystery dinner shows. It was a campy storyline with hokey things happening all around you. It made absolutely no sense. It was illogical. There was play money. The actors were being overworked and underpaid, and they just didn't really have, you just couldn't see the passion or that fire in their eyes. But yet, at the same time, these people were killing it. They had packed the house every Friday and Saturday night, sold out shows it was insane. And then she took me to the show, and of course, the whole drive home, I'm complaining and saying, God, it could have been so much better. It could have been this, it could have been that, and why didn't they do this? And I'm literally just breaking down the entire storyline and exposing all the potholes and saying this makes absolutely no sense. But yet nobody cared. Everybody just ate it up and gave them a standing ovation at the end, and it was what it was. And so we got back home, and she said, you know what, I don't want to hear this anymore. If you think it's so easy, why don't you just do it yourself? And I said, oh, was that a dare? And she basically said, yeah, let me see if you can do it. And so I said, all right. And it was literally, that was the conversation. And so she and I just started brainstorming the next morning at breakfast. And I took some of my old scripts and I started putting them together and taking pieces from little parts and said, oh, this would work good in this and this would work good. And then I had to figure out how to make it different. So I wrote down all the things that I just couldn't stand. And I figured if I don't like that stuff, there's got to be at least 100 people that don't like that stuff either. And if those people don't like it, then they must have 1,000 people. And then, you know, it just gets big and bigger and bigger. And so I made that list. I made sure that none of that stuff was in our script. And we got a bunch of friends together and said, hey, we're going to buy you guys all dinner. You just got to come and see a show. And they were like, great, let's do it. And found this crazy little Italian restaurant in downtown Culver City. They're not around anymore, but we took their back room on a Friday night and did a show. And after the show, everyone came up to us and they said, you know, basically, we know we're your friends, but that was really cool. I mean, that was really different and we'd like to do it again. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to buy you guys dinner again. I mean, it was a free meal for 75 people. I don't even know half the people in the audience because they brought friends. And so I basically just said, listen, you know, I'm good with it. I've proved my point that I could do it. And then I realized, you know, these actors are incredibly talented. There's something there. And my gut was just saying that there was something there. And so I said, you know what, let's just do it. Let's take a chance. Let's see what happens. And here we are 14 years later in 53 locations. And we just knocked it out, and it's still going strong all across the country.
53 locations is where you're doing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
53.
Wow. And it's been 14 years. That's amazing, man. That's such an incredible story, especially coming from someone who hated the experience of going to a murder mystery dinner theater thing. It's the dinnerdetective.com /Chicago for the local show. So Chicago, it's once a week every Saturday at the Hilton Garden Inn.
Yes, that is correct. And we also have another one in the greater Chicago area. It's in Schaumburg.
Oh, okay.
We have a show there. And that one goes about 3 times a month. And that's at the Chicago Marriott, Schaumburg.
Okay, all right.
That one's on North Martingale. But I mean, a lot of people ask this, you know, why? Why would we come to this one? We've been to one before. It's kind of like a bucket list item for most people. And we say to them, you know, ours is different because.
Yeah, and hang on, Scott, hang on a second, okay? We're going to take a break. We come back, and I want you to tell everybody how it's different, okay?
You got it.
All right, cool. Hang on. All right, there we go. Scott O'Brien is with us. He is a writer, executive producer of the Dinner Detective Murder Mystery Show. And you can check out thedinnerdetective.com/Chicago. We're going to give you all the details. There's also a show that they're doing in Schaumburg. And he's going to tell us all about how this is different, completely different than your average run-of-the-mill murder mystery dinner theater performance. And now that's all coming up right after we take a break on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. 312-981-7200, talk and text. Our guest is Scott O'Brien, who has great stories about working in the TV world, worked on The Practice with David E. Kelly, and now is the writer and executive producer of the Dinner Detective Murder Mystery Show. You can see it every Saturday at the Hilton Garden Inn in Chicago. There's also a performance in Schaumburg, and the information is at thedinnerdetective.com. And we have a link on our Facebook page. And before the break, Scott was telling us that, what makes it different than your average murder mystery dinner theater. Hey, Scott, welcome back.
Thank you.
That is the question, because I've been to a few of the, the murder mystery dinner theaters, and I've thought they were basically really pretty silly. Now obviously you had a lot of passion about it because you put a lot of thought into it. What's different about this? Tell everybody about the show.
So the first thing that people notice is our show is set in present day. So that means there's going to be no costumes. There's no period noir settings. You don't have to imagine that you are in the South Pacific or in the Wild West or somewhere at a sock hop at a park somewhere in Europe. All of our shows are based on actual cold cases and real crimes.
Wow.
So all the research that we did, that I did, that my wife has done, we found really cool, interesting, intriguing stories, some of them that were solved and some of them that have gone unsolved. And then we kind of combined them all together and said, okay, how could these things, how could they be resolved? How could somebody avenge this death or someone, at the end of the day, we didn't want people to hate the killer. We wanted the people to cheer for the killer because this killer was doing something that made sense, was getting back at these bad people. The other thing people will notice is the dialogue, because the majority of our show is improvised. So going back to present day and improvisation, that means that none of our performers are dressed in costumes. They're dressed just like everybody else. So you don't know who's a part of the show and who's not. Mm. So you're standing in line ready to check in. You're seated at your table. You're getting a drink at the bar. And the person you've been sitting next to or talking to or having drinks with all night, he or she may be a performer and you just don't know, or they may just be a customer and you think they're a performer and they're just kind of weird and wacky and you still don't know.
Right.
And what makes it so fun is that you're constantly guessing. It's very CSI meets Law and Order. It's one of those things where you have real clues that we've taken from the Huffington Post. We've taken from Sports Illustrated. We've taken from, actual email accounts that we've created and made it look like these are real solid present-day scenario clues that you would find at a crime scene, or through being a true detective, these are the things you would come up with. And throughout the entire program, you are constantly looking at these clues. You're constantly finding new clues. You're constantly trying to figure out if the person next to you or across from you is lying. Well, someone comes to the room, something happens, the detectives come in, and they also start interrogating everybody. So that's what it makes it so different, is you're not just watching the show. You're actually a part of the show. Mm-hmm. The actors are at your table. The detectives are moving around the entire room. And so there's no stage. There's no front or back. Everybody has a front row seat, as we like to say. And then, of course, at the end, we have prizes for the person who solves the crime. We have bits and skits and interactions throughout the entire event. So it's constantly throwing you off track. The person you think did it, all of a sudden they die, and you're back to square one, and you've got to start over again. And it's this game that we've created that is, I think, is very CSI. I can't say that enough, because you're constantly trying to figure out,
yeah,
and what's going on.
And also, there is a dinner that is served, and you get a full meal, and there's a bar, cash bar, and all that stuff.
Yeah, so we basically created it we set it up so that it is like a four-act play, and then we also have a three-course meal along with appetizers. So in the beginning, when everybody checks in, you're asked to make up an alias, and that's a really cool thing. I should have mentioned that. That's a really cool thing that also separates us, and I think really creates the icebreaker moment. It's called our interrogation reception. So when you enter into the room, you're asked to make up an alias. The only two things you can't do is it can't be your actual name, and it can't be anything boring. So you are encouraged to go, since there's no small children, 15 is our minimum age. We ask you guys to really be creative, to kind of get out there. So you could be Captain Underpants. This guy could be Captain Moron, and this lady could be Captain Spock, or Captain Kirk. It really doesn't matter. Everybody's making up crazy names, and some of the names are more on the X-rated arena, and others are more G-rated. But that's what makes it so much fun. So when you get into the room, you have tray pass hors d'oeuvres, there's a nice bar, everybody's socializing. Then we pass out these interrogation forms, and then everybody starts interrogating each other. But you're trying to start to figure out who's an actor and who's not.
Yeah.
Then you're seated, you have your salads, and the first act, and your entrees, the third act, and so on and so forth, all the way through your desserts, and then the finale.
That's great, man. It sounds really, really cool. And again, you can check it out at thedinnerdetective.com/Chicago, and it's performed every Saturday at the Hilton Garden Inn in Chicago, and also there's another performance that they do in Schaumburg. Well, now let's talk a little bit about casting. How does that go about? And when you first started doing it, who did you draw upon? I mean, you said it's mostly improvised. So do you go I'm assuming you pull from the world of improv, right?
Yeah. So we got very lucky because of where we started. We were able to pull from a tremendous talent pool out in Los Angeles between the Groundlings and Second City and IO West. Now there's Upright Citizens Brigade out there. And then we moved out to Chicago, and you've got the same improv houses out there. And you'd be amazed how many improv houses there are throughout the country. So in every single city that we've been to, we've been able to find some incredibly talented individuals. And of course, we've got to get them to believe that our show is not the stigma that has been attached.
Right.
And so we have some really fun auditions. And the auditions have become these nationally known free training improv classes. And we have some really talented trainers that we send out to each location. And, men and women of all ages come out. And even if they don't get cast, they still come up to us and say how much fun they've had. And I remember one of our trainers saying that she had a woman who drove 7.5 hours to come to the audition just so she could take the free class.
Wow.
And it was just it just brought a huge smile to me, and it made me feel so good that we were doing something like that, because the world of improv, I think, is the most undervalued the most undervalued part, I think, of the theatrical world. And if you really take a step back and look at the incredibly talented comedians and performers that are out there, most of them have improvisational background.
Oh yeah. I actually took Second City here. And so, I mean, obviously the world of improv was a big deal for me, and this city, Scott, this city is so closely identified with, the Second City and great improv. That's so many amazing talents. If you look at some of the, you look at almost all the cast members of Saturday Night Live over the course of 40-something years, they all started at Second City or IO or Upright. And they're really incredibly talented people. It's a rich group of people that you can choose from. And how often do you recast?
That's a good question. It really varies. I have cast members that have been with me for, maybe 10 years.
Wow.
And I have some that just started maybe a week or two ago.
Yeah.
Some of the cast members will move. And another great thing is, because we have locations all over the country, a lot of them who will move from smaller towns or smaller metros and then move to bigger metros, and then they immediately have a job when they move into town.
That's great.
So they'll go from Omaha to Chicago, or, from Louisville all the way out to Los Angeles. And we actually struck a deal with IO West out in L.A., and they have a crash course training program for all of the Dinner Detective cast members that want to go out there. and they offer it to all of them, and it's an amazing little, like, 5 days of just intense improv drilling and classes, and it preps them for the show.
That's amazing. Again, this is the Dinner Detective Murder Mystery Show, and the one in Schaumburg takes place at the Chicago Marriott Schaumburg, which is 50 North Martingale Road in Schaumburg, and that is thedinnerdetective.com/Schaumburg. And the other one is on Saturdays at the Hilton Garden Inn in Chicago, and that's thedinnerdetective.com/Chicago. And in addition to those regularly scheduled performances in Schaumburg and in Chicago, Scott, I understand that there are special occasions that you'll do, or corporate stuff, anniversaries, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. That's a big part of our business. You know, we didn't really strive for that in the beginning, but the corporate and private event business has really taken off. It's taken off since day one, but really taken off in the last couple of years because it's something different. And that's the sayings that we hear over and over and over. The theme over and over has been there, done that. We're so bored with doing this, or we're so bored with doing that. It's finally something different. And here they have this opportunity to not only have their meetings at our hotels and have their, you know, block rooms and have these big events, but then they have us to have the awards, or the employee recognition, and or the team building host, and there's all these things in this one-stop shop that they don't have to go through five different vendors. And with the corporate events, what's so cool about it is we're able to customize our script to their message.
Oh, okay.
So if they're trying to get communication skills better, they're trying to get focus skills better, you know, or whatever it may be, we're able to work with them and their team to try to customize the script. Because so much of it is improvised, we can take a lot of their, what we call their dirt, and plug it into our show.
Yeah.
And we're able to have, you know, the president. We always love having the president, or the head of HR, the head of legal, whoever is the owner, or whoever the biggest person there is on the food chain. We always have them be an intricate part of our storyline, usually the first to die, which everyone gets a kick out of. And we send them back in later with a little halo and some angel wings, so that way everyone knows that they're okay. But they always get a kick out of that, because it breaks down those walls.
Yeah,
and that's what a lot of people have a hard time with at a lot of the team building. The boss is still in the room, and they don't want to mess up. They don't want to do anything. But when they see the boss let go, or they see the manager or the director let go of their inhibitions and have fun with it,
yeah,
that's such a true joy to witness, because that doesn't happen in most team building events.
Right, right.
And all of a sudden, everybody's on the same team, and everybody's laughing and playing and eating and drinking and solving crimes, and it's just it's a whole package in one event.
All right. And all that stuff can be found at thedinnerdetective.com. Once again, dinnerdetective.com/Chicago for the Saturday performances, the Hilton Garden Inn, and thedinnerdetective.com/Schaumburg for the Chicago Marriott Schaumburg performances as well. Really great talking to you, Scott. Great stories, and congratulations on the success. And I'm thinking that, you know, going back to that date years ago for your mother-in-law's birthday, that it would turn into this. You must be kind of like stunned by that.
I am. You know, I talk about it all the time. I really do. And I feel very blessed to have a job that I really, truly enjoy. And I know that's a rarity in so many situations. And I'm very, very grateful for it.
Yeah. Well, it's great stuff, man. And thank you for joining us. And I wish you all the success in the world, Scott. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Take care. There you go. Scott O'Brien, everybody. Writer, executive producer of the Dinner Detective Murder Mystery Show. It's a completely different kind of murder mystery thing. You heard all about it. It sounds fantastic to me. Two kinds of performances, one in Chicago, one in Schaumburg. You can go to thedinnerdetective.com/Chicago or thedinnerdetective.com/Schaumburg for all the information. And they also do private parties and corporate events and stuff if you're interested in that.